One. Of. Oh. Our. F. Favorite. F-A. M. Famous. T. R. A. N. Transitions. Everybody gets to watch our famous transitions here.
Okay.
This is all going out live.
Oh my. All of this. Oh boy.
So everybody's used to these transitions.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
Cool. It's the best part.
Yeah. That's right. That really makes it live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're all mic'd. What did D? G? It's G-I. Yeah.
Oh.
G.
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 Yeah,
G.
What did G? T? Tell you about Frank and us?
Rien.
Oh, no. Nothing.
Yeah, she just said that that she had sent the CD and told me about the show and said if I was interested to contact you guys. So we contacted you. So, because we were going to be in the area. Didn't think that it was going to happen this quickly, but we're delighted it did. Yeah, it happened really, really quickly because we just contacted you guys like maybe 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was
fast. Yeah. And in his email, he said, you know, 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks or something like that. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to try because I'm here, you know. Yeah.
We are F. L. Flexible. Well, because the show is regular slot is Sunday nights at 8. So this is a special. So what happens is if somebody's coming through town and we really wanted you on the show, and this is when you were going to be here, we say, oh, what the hell? Let's do two this week.
Oh, how sweet. Oh, wow. That is so sweet. Thank you so much. Wow.
Because otherwise we're booking January and February now.
Oh my gosh.
So all the Sundays are filled up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
We wanted you though.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
We. D. I. E. We die.
Uh-oh.
Two shows.
Uh-oh.
W. Two show weeks. Well, we don't die, but...
What does that mean?
We take off?
No, well, he means like we're like wiped out at the end of a show that we do two... On the end of a week that we do two shows. Because when you do a show, that's like the day, really. And it's actually the day before because you have... You know you're doing a show the next day, so you have to kind of make sure that you're... In bed at a certain time, so you get up at a certain time.
Oh, yeah, and you guys were in bed at, what, 6 this morning?
No, not until, when did we go to bed?
9? We're night owls, so we can go to bed as late as noon. So,
And then you just sleep all day? Or do you, can you sleep all day? Or?
Well, Frank usually gets up around anywhere between 3 and 5.
Okay.
And, Erica actually has a day job, so she's up and at work, but she doesn't stay up all night like us. She's usually
so
in bed around 1-2.
You're not rogue dog all night
long. Well, she doesn't go to bed till 1 or 2 when she gets up, you know, around 9.
Okay, well, that's, I'm kind of like that. Yeah. I like it at night because it's quiet.
Oh, exactly.
Really
we just keep going there.
But I don't know, 5 or 6. But
well, we kept thinking we shouldn't do it. And then this is a long, long, long time ago.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, we realized no matter what we do, we keep gravitating toward that time. And so just like surrender to it. Just enjoy it. Yeah. This is what we do.
Yeah.
Because Mikey's a graphic designer, but he works at home.
Okay.
And so,
he's flexible.
He can do it, you know, as long as he's up for certain hours during the day when everybody else is at the office. And we find a lot of people are working when he's working.
Okay.
You know, at 2 or 3 in the morning, he'll send an email and I'll get a reply.
Right.
You know?
That would be me. I'd be guilty of that. Yeah.
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 But on S H O show nights. Like tonight, you mean? Mm-hmm. We'll be in bed earlier. We have to. We have to be up at a certain hour, right? So actually, like last night, we actually had to be in bed at a certain time because we have to get up at a certain time. Like most days, it doesn't matter when
happen,
we get up.
Right?
It can happen. We don't take well to it.
Because when did you contact them? Like,
oh, we got your email at like, we picked it up, I think, at around 7:30. And I figured, okay, we'll just get your message machine. So we called and you picked up.
Yeah. See, he's an early bird. I'm like, right. Do your thing.
We are getting M-O more two show weeks. Well, what happens is that we're getting a lot more people that are touring and want us to have this be part of their tour. And right. We have a really hard time saying no, because it's like, you know, oh, no, we don't have time, you know. And it's because it's, you know, it's great. I mean, it's great having you come here and do
That's
a show
sweet.
And sit to talk with you and everything.
That's sweet.
So
love
we're kind of, it seems like we're doing more and more two shows.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sometimes we do Saturday and Sunday night. That's pretty wild when
oh
we do that.
Gosh.
S-E-E-C seems like the M-U musicians, music, S C E music scene is C H changing B E because before we H A had M, mainly local people. Mm. Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And A, F, C, A, C, A, S, U, casual? No. And A, an occasional. An occasional a band or performer from out of town.
Mm-hmm. And now who, it's all over the map.
Yeah. Who? B. O. O. Booked. Us. Booked. Their. Tour. Oh, around. Their tour. Themselves. Mm-hmm. Oh, right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Mm. Now we're dealing more with with people who have representatives. Mm. It mm-hmm. seems like there's more of that.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Very cool.
I don't know if that's why you're wondering if that's the music scene changing, that it's people having other people book them more than bands booking themselves.
Well, I think that as you get luckier uh-huh. like the harder you work the luckier you get that you're able to get people on your team uh-huh. who want to help you to do right. things but when you're not as lucky uh-huh. people are much more reluctant to help you and it's really important to build a team right. you know and if you want to try if you want to tour if you want to be successful because I have done it for a really really long time trying to do everything on my own and it really is taxing and it makes it harder to create music because you're spending so much time on the business end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How, what, when did you, when did it see change for you?
Actually, I would say in the last couple of years or actually this year, right? Because that's when we got all the offers from, like, we got label offers and from that, they have recommended, like, producers and talent agents and things like that. So just this year. Just this year.
How is that? How does that work?
How does it work?
Oh, how is it working?
Oh, how's
how
it working
for you?
Well, yeah. You know what? It's really interesting because I tell Herman this all of the time that when you do it on your own and you do everything yourself, you want things done a certain way. and when you have to let go and let other people do the work, that's the thing that I'm struggling with right now, is because once you've let...
Like?
That's struggling very hard.
Oh, be quiet.
Like what? Like what, for example?
For example, the way I... Yeah, for example, the way I record a record. I usually do everything in Finale. Mm. I compose it in Finale. You're familiar? It's a music program. I compose it in Finale. And then after I have all the charts and everything, I will do a pre-production. You know, I'll pre-produce the music at home. Then I'll take that to the studio along with the charts for my band, and the band will play it. But I have a certain group of musicians that I use, a certain group of singers that I use, a certain studio that I use, because I've built relationships with these people. And now all of that is like, well, we're going to tell you where to record. We're going to tell you who to produce, how to produce, what songs to sing.
Wow.
And so to let go of all of that after I've gotten everything, and, you know, I've got a rhythm going is... It's a struggle.
Wow.
Don't say anything. Now he's not allowed to speak.
He got his face under my feet. But on is, isn't that a part of your act, of your art, of your art, all those various elements that you have gathered around yourself, your musicians, your magi, of your magic. Isn't that a part of your act, of your magic?
Absolutely. But then there's the other aspect of like the booking and the types of venues that I want to be booked at, the types of engagements that the kind of gigs that I don't want to do anymore. Like I'm not really, I would prefer to do a gig in front of like a festival where I'm not getting paid much money, but where there's a really, really large audience and there's an opportunity for me to build my fan base and for me to sell CDs. And sometimes with a label, they will say, well, instead of doing that, especially this is a small label specifically, they'll say, well, why don't we concentrate on this one city, and you can do the kind of gigs that you were doing before, which is where you you get paid based on how many people come into the club. But the problem with that is, again, because you're dealing with a promoter, and the promoter will say, well, in order for you to get any money, you have to bring in 100 people. For the first 50 people, you get no money from. The second 50 people, you get $3 out of $10 for it. But after, but before you can get the $3 out of $10 for it, you have to pay the sound man, you have to pay security, you have to pay all of this.
God.
And so there's always that struggle of me saying, well, I have done those kinds of engagements before. Can we maybe move in a different direction? But what they're saying is, well, we've had experience with this and we know that it works, and if you will just follow our model, you follow our model, you'll be okay.
But you have your EXP experience too. They say they have experience with this. Frank is saying you have your experience too.
I have experience too, but I don't have any multi-platinum albums. I don't have multi-platinum albums, but I haven't worked with, you know, major artists. And so
Do they do they have multi-platinum albums?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
What? P. E. R. Percent of their artists have multi. What percent of the albums that they put out are multi-platinum?
Well, it's not with any of the acts that are on the label, because all the acts on the label are new. But in the past, I would say the percentage of albums that they've done out of 10, four of them were multi-platinum. Four.
A.
Actually, more than that, but.
G. Again. Don't. R. I. S. K. Don't risk your A. R. Your art. Don't risk your art.
You know, I that's the struggle. That's the struggle. That's the struggle. That's the struggle because I have to decide, do I want to stay small? Mm. Do I want to stay small and do exactly what I want to do the way that I want to do it? Or do I want to sell more records? And that's the crux of it, because I would like more people to hear the music. I would like more people to be able to enjoy the music. And I don't have the, from a budgetary standpoint, I don't have the budget and I don't have the connections on my own to be able to take it to another level, because I would like to work in front of larger audiences. Mm-hmm. I would like to move beyond, you know, 250 seat clubs. So it's a struggle. It really, really is a struggle.
How? M. A. How many years of H of B I big A U audiences? Has she, or would it take? You know, how many years of big audiences do you want? How many years of big audiences do you want?
How many years of big audiences?
How do you mean that? B. E. Because. M. O. Most. B. Most bands. Who. B. R. E. Break. B. I. Big.
Mm-hmm.
O. Only. Have. A. Year or two of big audiences.
Okay. Well, I would say that not necessarily a big audience, but a consistent audience, and to lessen the likelihood of playing in front of two people would be a nice thing. That would be nice. It would be nice, you know. I've done a lot of those. And, you know, $11 a night after a while, you know, rent, you know, things like rent and car notes, you know, can't do it.
For what? For how? M. A. For how many years did you do?
Have I been doing this? That? Yeah. I've been doing this for 10 years? Nine? Yeah, about 10 years. About 10 years. Yeah. And again, I'd say in the last couple of years is when I've been getting a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah, but I remember $11 a night very well. I had a lot of those. And then the promoter saying, $11? I don't owe you $11. You had 2 glasses of apple cider.
Yeah. That's tacky.
Yeah. But it happens. And, you know, it gets difficult when that happens a lot. And you don't, it's like a love-hate relationship that you have with the label, because you need them, but you don't necessarily always want them. But, you know, in order to get the kind of attention and respect that you want to get from bigger venues.
Did not the W E the web change things for you?
Absolutely. My first CD, I sold over 10,000 on my own. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Through the internet.
Through the internet and a gazillion live performances. But yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Mhm. Yep. So I'm hoping this CD, which I did independently as well, will do twice as well.
We can COMP compare your N. E.
Oh.
Next. CD. That. The.
Yeah.
Oh, the record company does.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello. High five. Yeah. 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 Well, that'd be interesting because they said, well, this CD I recorded about 22 songs and picked. I think there's 12. That's terrible, but I think there's 12. And they want to record between 60 and 80 songs to get, between 60 and 80 songs to get about 14 songs.
Wow.
So we'll see.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You could have 9 CDs out of that.
Hello. Hello. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And S E sell them
online
1-10 T H and sell 10,000 of each. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very true. Very true. But again, do I want to deal with hiring the publicist, tracking the radio stuff? I mean, I understand that even as when you go from independent to being even with a small label, that you still have to be involved. But it's the 80 hours a week administrative stuff that is difficult. Mm. That's difficult.
That's what you have been doing.
Mm. Yeah.
That is how, why we are. Well, there's actually 6 of us that do everything we do. So,
really?
So it's not just one person putting in the 80 hours. You know,
wow.
Everybody kind of does their part, so it makes
that's a beautiful thing. Yeah. See, that's beautiful. There's a team.
Yeah.
Yeah, a team of you doing it. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the C O N T R O, the control
Yeah.
Stays here.
Yeah. You're not Amen. To, yes, it does. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, it does. Mm. Yeah. Yes, it does. Yeah.
Mm. M-I, Mikey, what he does? No, what about Mikey? Oh, the band? When we met Mikey in 88, he was the lead singer to the band that turned into Counting Crows. And it was just like right when they were ready to break out. Bill Graham was their manager, and you know they had to hire one of Bill Graham's Beverly Hills attorneys to negotiate with Bill Graham's attorney.
Oh, that's funny.
They had a friend who was an attorney, had to get rid of him and hire Bill Graham's Beverly Hills attorney to deal with Bill Graham's attorney.
Oh, that's funny.
But anyway, Mikey was coming at it more from like an art enjoying place. Mm-hmm. But he said, once you kind of get on this track, it's like, it's just like it's going this way and nobody like stops and thinks about it. It's except he wasn't very happy. Mm. And, you know, you couldn't take any risks anymore.
Right. And see, that's the thing. Yeah. That's why it's like decision time.
Yeah.
And it's where the rubber meets the road. What do you do? Do you choose art or do you choose to take it to the next level?
He said all the songs that they wanted to play, they couldn't play anymore. They had to keep playing the same song over and over again. They would do little things with costuming. Can't do that anymore.
Right.
It's just everything started getting stripped away.
No decision making whatsoever.
Wasn't fun anymore.
Yep.
And then he meets someone who's working with Frank. And she was a student of Frank's. Frank does a thing, like what he calls a shamanistic apprenticeship, which is about life, you know, how to live.
Yeah.
And so she was working with Frank, but she was also a fan of this band.
Okay.
And so her and Mikey would get together and, you know, well, what do you do? Well, I work with this shaman, you know,
right,
and she shows him Frank's writings, right?
Oh my
Frank
gosh.
Does all this writing about life, you know.
Okay.
And all Mikey said the floor fell out from under him because it just spoke to his discontent.
Wow.
So he quits the band.
Oh my gosh.
He quits the band.
Oh my gosh.
To be Frank's backup singer.
No way. No way.
And the thing was, when we met Mikey, he's slim, yuppie boy, you know, uptight, fancy haircut. And I mean, he was, I couldn't stand
very
him in the room
down
with him.
Like, snap out of it.
Yeah. And now look at him now, you know, he's relaxed and happy, but you know, they didn't understand like the rest of the band when they were on the cover of Rolling Stone. Frank said, I finally made it to Rolling Stone because they talked about how their lead singer quit the band and joined a cult. Frank said, I'm in Rolling Stone.
Wow.
But you know, but that was
tough.
Yeah.
Very tough. Very tough.
Yeah. S. So. Is it worth it?
That's the $10 million question. That's the decision that needs to be made. Is it worth it?
Yeah.
Is it worth it? I don't know.
Mm.
Yeah. A lot of praying. Uh-huh. A lot of praying. Yeah. I know something for me definitely has to change because I can't keep up the kind of pace that I was talking about, you know, as far as taking care of the business side, you know, it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely too much. But, you know, maybe I'll turn into, what's the lady's name? Annie DeFranco that has her own thing going on. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Cause I like that idea a lot.
There are people that
there are people
do it.
That do it. Yeah.
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 M O most of the B bands that we have. It seems that way. Most of the bands that we have seem to have the freedom.
They have their own labels.
They have their own labels or things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I did this last one that way, and I did so this is my second album that I've done on my own, and I'm really pleased. I'm really pleased with the process because now it's that part is definitely taken care of. No problem.
Yeah.
But, there's still a couple of things that need some help on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know I'm driving poor Herman crazy with all the things that he has to do. Yeah, because he handles the business management side, so.
And how long have you guys been together?
All the time.
Oh.
Have to.
Oh. So you've been together the whole time.
The whole ride. The whole ride.
Wow.
So I have one fan.
Uh-huh. Wow, that's great. What do you think of the record label of the R? I, S, of the risk, you're asking Herman. What do you think of the risk?
I think it's the biggest decision that any artist faces. And they have to go their own path. And when they go down that path, they learn things that they can't know until they do. Some people need to step into that world before they know whether it's for them or not for them, and they step away. Mm-hmm. We can't always anticipate what we're going to like or not like about the future. So if you don't move too slowly and you talk to people, if you don't move too quickly and you talk to people and you trust your gut, and you try and make decisions for the right reasons, and you try and be aware of the trade-offs. If you don't move too fast, sometimes the light emerges. But you can think something is going to work out and it not work out, and you have to take the philosophy that everything you go through makes you what you are today. Mm-hmm. So you, whether it's a good experience or a bad experience, you incorporate it, you let it make you better as an artist, and you let it feed your work, and you move forward. I don't think fear is the right way to approach it, but I think respect for the fact that there are trade-offs and that you need to be grown up about that. And when you make peace with it one way or the other, whatever that takes, whether it takes getting in or evaluating, when you make peace with it, then you reach a new level for yourself.
What? How? L? O? How long is the C O N T? What's the word?
Contract.
Oh, you got it.
Oh, yeah, I got that one.
How long is the contract?
It's for 2 years with 2-year options.
Oh, options
to extend the contract. Yeah,
for them, or
to extend the contract. Yeah, for them to extend the contract.
But at the end of the 2 years, you could leave if you want. You can. You're not obligated to go another 2 years if they decide to. Or
if they decide to, I do.
You
have
are
to,
obligated.
I am obligated.
So you're really obligated
for six,
potentially for
6 years.
Wow. A L O a lot of B A bands can not P L play A play B E because they're locked into a contract?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's not the situation for me, because they're... No, they're... I mean, even though I'm complaining, believe me, in order for me to sign anything, I've got to be happy. Mama's got to be happy. Uh-huh. So there's got to be some things in there that are going to make Mama happy. And that means I use the people that I want to use. Uh-huh. I write the kind of songs I want to sing. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
Is that in the contract?
Mm-hmm, of course. I'm not fool. Yeah, yeah. I don't believe anything unless it's written in the contract. And I know that with any contract that contracts are made to be broken, but it's there. Mm-hmm. It's there. So they would have to default on the contract because I made sure that there were certain things that I was not going to bend on at all. You know, and if it meant that I wasn't offered anything, you know, I'm making a living, be fine. Mm-hmm. As much as I complain, uh-huh. I'll be fine. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What? How? Did you two meet?
Herman and I? We actually used to work together at the Musicians Union. I was a labor rep and he did the computers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've known each other forever. Yeah. Mm. But he's my biggest fan. He came to all my shows and everything. Yeah. Yeah. Good man. Very good man. Yep.
You are. R, F, R, from here, from H, A.
That's right.
What?
Hayward.
Oh, that's Hayward. Where you're from, Hayward.
I'm from Hayward.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, I went by earlier today. I went by my old house. Yeah, because my mom, it's funny, like I told you, I'm from here. And first I moved to L.A., then my brother moved to L.A., my brother was in Oakland, then my sister moved to L.A., then my mom moved to L.A. I'm like, what's going on?
So your whole family
so
is in L.A.
So the whole family
LA
is in L.A. now.
Oh, wow.
And it's funny because my mom said, I'll never live in Los Angeles. My sister said, I'll never live in Los Angeles. Now everybody's there.
Wow.
Yeah, so I got to see the old house.
Pee-wee. K, keep saying we, they, that, when we are, when we do shows in L.A.
Oh.
Well, because we were just down in L.A. two or three weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah. We go down, well, we can get gigs in L.A. Frank has a band, and we do shows ourselves.
Right.
We can get gigs in L.A. much easier than we can get gigs up here.
Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah.
That's the craziest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, but it's like, you know, how often can we afford to go down to L.A.? So we pretty much do it once a year, and we were just down there.
Where'd
now.
You play?
Il Corral, which is this underground place in... Who knows? I can't even remember.
Santa Monica.
I live near Santa Monica.
Oh, we love this place. Funky little place. Okay. Funky little place. But it has like kind of experimental music and really nice place. Really low-key, relaxed place.
Wow.
And then The Cocaine, which it turned out is just like this kind of concept thing. And they have a Japanese restaurant in Little Tokyo Fridays and Saturday nights.
Okay.
And so, and we knew nothing about it, but it turned out this punk dude, Champ, who is a real character, big personality, he is friends with the guy that books usually jazz.
Okay.
On this The Cocaine is a jazz thing.
All right.
But he's friends with the guy who books the jazz shows, and the friend said, you book a night. So Champ and his punk band, Die Rockers Die, performed. And we performed and
Refrigerator Mothers,
performed. And it was set, I mean, we had no idea. And we walk into this place and, you know, the bartender's dressed.
Oh, my gosh.
In a tux kind of suit.
I love it. I love it.
Standing at the bar like this. And it's this gorgeous Japanese restaurant. And then all these kind of misfits start wandering in and sitting on the floor and just, you know, moving the tables and chairs around.
I
and
love
the
it.
Bartender just stays where he is. Uh-huh. But once the music started playing, the bartender's like, kind of doing this.
Okay.
And it was, you know, it was really, really fun.
Wow.
Both places were really fun.
Very cool.
Receptive. You know, people are very excited.
That's great.
And,
That's great. Yeah. Now, why do you think you're able to get more gigs in L.A. than here?
Well, there's two things, I think. One is whenever we have a person in a city that wants us to come there, we get a lot of gigs. And it's been in, like, sometimes it's been in Toronto, so we perform a lot in Toronto. It's just, it's like a person.
Okay.
So we have a person down there who's in his own band, Dog, and it's a noise band. But we met him and we hit it off right away. And he, Frank's band is a band where he gathers musicians who have never played with us. It's always like no rehearsal, just like it's an improv thing.
Okay. What kind of music?
Big. And Frank's thing is big. He invites everybody. He'll invite all the, he's selective, but he will invite the bands that perform before us. He's notorious for saying, go ask that person if he wants to be in my band. Go ask this person. And so right now the music is kind of jazzier because we hooked up with this kind of this jazz. These are like, you know, the upper end jazz studio musicians that all of a sudden Frank is just like the hot guy, and they all want to play with him. So when we're in LA, it's been this kind of jazzy thing.
Okay.
But Steve, the guy from Dog, you know, whenever we want a gig, he'll just line up shows for us, however many nights we want to be down there.
Okay.
Up here, I think there's a couple reasons why we don't get. Frank's a troublemaker. That's like
is
number
he
one.
Now? I never would have guessed.
And so. When it's direct contact with us and whoever, you know, and then the nature of the work we do is like the whole thing is like pushing the envelope, pushing. That's like, I mean, Frank will define what we do as like a subversive art.
Okay.
As a, like affecting change in society through art.
Okay.
And so,
cool.
You know, you like that comes with the territory then.
Yeah.
You know, and that
yep.
we're okay with all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, everybody knows Frank up here. You know, we've been here since the mid-70s. So everybody knows his work and knows him.
Okay.
And so, there, you know, it's got to be somebody that's into risk, you know, that is wants to embrace what we do. And
gotcha.
So, Frank, it's cycles. You know, Frank says there's contractions and expansions. And during expansion times, everybody wants us. We have so many shows, we can't deal with it. We're everywhere. We're on the we're the cover stories and the newspapers. We're everywhere.
Wow.
And then the contractions, nobody wants to book us. Nobody wants to have anything to do with us. But we're like, to us, it's all the same.
Okay.
You know, so it's just like, okay, this is a contraction. And so right now it's a contraction getting booked locally. But...
Okay.
Right, we just got a venue. That's what always happens to us. A friend who runs an underground club in Richmond it's been underground, illegal the whole time, however many years, but he always has like relationships with the local police.
Oh.
And so he'll kind of, you know, he'll negotiate with them. You know, you want all these punks not to hang out on the street.
Right.
Okay. You know.
Because they are.
And
yeah.
So he kind of negotiates with them. Well, new chief of police, new batch of policemen, they shut him down again. And right around that time, we're on TV, the public access, 7 nights a week. We're like, the joke is it's Frank Moore's channel. Frank thinks it's a crime that we can have so many hours. Like people should be using this thing, you
right.
know, but nobody does it.
Right.
And
right.
so we see blank time, so we come up with shows and they put us on. So
okay.
there are nights like Monday night we're on from 10 p.m. for 6 hours.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh
and so
gosh.
It's like we're wow. the prime time thing in the evening from like we have a show from 10 to 11 and then a 2.5 hour show that this will play on from 11 until 12. To 11 to 1:30.
Wow.
But then the middle of the night, which is when all the like rock and rollers are up watching TV, they repeat our 2.5 hour show. We have like almost 300 shows. And so it's a different show every night of the week. And so it kind of goes through the rotation every, I don't know, you know, you figure it out. It's almost like once a year.
Wow.
So it's our show's real popular with the rock and rollers and the punks. And so John, the guy who runs this underground club, everybody's always saying, I saw you on TV. Oh, you know, and they're all excited about it. And he thought we should do a show that's based here.
Right.
And so it's going deep to the core at Ramen, that's the name of the club, with Frank Moore.
Okay.
And so once a month we do a show there that's just for TV. And the deal was that the last band has to be Frank's band. So, and then he gathers his musicians from the three previous bands. So now we have a regular gig. You know, so something always opens up for us. So it's okay with us that the clubs now won't have anything to do with us. Now we have this thing. You know, so we always have more to do than we have time to do.
Right. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So how long have we been going?
Hour 25.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So is that that's going to be a wrap? Okay. So we should give all your info, anything you want to give to people.
Yeah, like my website. Telephone number and all that.
Yeah, that would be good. And we'll have that listed on our website too, but it's good to give it for the public access people.
So should I say it?
Okay.
My website is www.angeliquemusic.com. You can reach us at area code Herman Roberts at area code 310-943-0399. And write us, call us, book us. We're always looking for work. We hope to hear from you.
And get your CD.
And buy my CD. Yeah. CDs. I have two.
And tell them where the CDs are.
Yeah.
Well, they're in the stores. They're at cdbaby.com/angelicmusic 1 and 2. In the stores, all the stores, Tower Records, Barnes & Nobles, all those through Muse and distributed through Muse. And online, iTunes, all the regular places.
Yeah, so it's easy to get.
It's easy to get.
They're easy to get.
Yeah. Look for it and buy it. Support an independent artist.
That's right. That's right. Don't. Before she is not independent anymore.
That's right. Because I've got 3 weeks to make a decision.
If you want to help her make a decision,
you want to help me make
CDs.
A decision, buy the CD.
Did I P L A plant enough seeds in your head?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes. Mission accomplished. When that question kept recirculating, I was like, I got it. I hear it.
You thought you were being subtle, huh? B. E.
Right.
L. I believe in H A M M hammering. He believes in hammering.
In hammering?
As opposed to being subtle. Here's my point.
I know somebody like that.
Oh, he's a hammer too. There you go. Yes, and you have such a sweet face too.
Oh yeah, he does have a sweet face. Oh, but
you know when they have sweet faces.
Oh my
Frank has a sweet face too.
Don't be mad at me.
Watch out for those sweet faces.
I know.
So I always say, Frank, if you weren't so cute, you'd be dead by now. All the people you pissed off in your life. How can they not like you, though? You're so cute.
Oh,
there's Herman. Mm-hmm. Same school.
Mm-hmm.
I am R U. Running. Oh, Frank's running for president.
I know.
You can't leave without your button.
I know. I saw it. I went on the website and everything.
Oh,
yes, I did.
Oh, wow. Good.
So I have to put on my pin.
On that, on this, F-A-C-T. He's running for president on this face.
And it's such a cute face. That's right.
What do you think of the SHO of the show, of this show?
Excellent idea. Love opportunities available for independent artists. Love that as an independent artist, you can really compete with signed artists. Love that you can do your thing and do it the way you want to do it. So love when there's opportunities like this. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
I was, and it keeps growing. No, keeps G-O going. This show? How do you mean? The way this app, this particular show will play over. And yeah, I mean, like, we get a lot of mileage out of this because this is going out live. And then we'll archive the audio of it. But we were taking still photographs from the video all through your set.
A lot
of really beautiful pictures.
Really?
Just warning you. And that'll all be on the website. Since it's an audio archive, we put all those pictures up so people get to see you as you're performing. And we're taking photos of this, too.
Fabulous. Okay.
And so there's that. So and then it's archived on our website. And our website is very popular. So you get a lot of mileage there. But then it plays on the public access show. So it'll go as a first run that where it plays, you know, like a Monday, a Thursday, and a Saturday night. And then it will go into that rotation of playing like once every more, a little more than a year.
Oh, my goodness.
It'll play once every more than a year. It's really, it really gets a lot.
Thank
of,
you. I appreciate that. Thank you, Frank.
And N-O now A N new S E G segment of the show could you do a drop, but this will be off live. You could use this, you don't need the other recorder.
No, I'll take it right off of here.
Could you do a drop for Lover?
Sure.
So, you know, you would, like, identify yourself, who you are, and tell people, and this will play on Lover all the time. So, say you're listening to what? Do you say www or do you just say Lover?
Lover.com.
You're listening to Lover.com, and does she say the mix, or does that, do you want her to say the mix? Yeah. You're listening to the mix. Don't forget the mix. Just that you're listening to Lover.com.
Okay.
And say who you are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love to.
So she could just do it when she's ready, and you'll take care. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on. Frank has more. You can A add L I. Oh, you can add lines.
Ad lib.
You can ad lib. It's just, that's just like the general frame.
Okay.
But you don't feel confined to that.
Okay.
How. G-R. How great. How great I am. You're helping her with her ad lib.
I already know what I'm going to say.
She's already got it.
I know what I'm going to say. Yes. Yes, I already know what I'm saying.
All right, take it.
This is Angelique, and I'm voting for the stud muffin, Frank Moore for president. And you're listening to Lover.com.
Oh, that was pretty cute. Stud Muffin. She knows you better than we thought she does. Well, that'll get a lot of play. You'll hear that a lot on Lover. Okay, so actually we're still going. So let's say goodnight to everybody. Good night, everybody. AngeliqueMusic.com.
That's right, AngeliqueMusic.com.
Yeah.